Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Second, and the Canadian Andre de Grasse will be the bronze medalist. You have just seen a moment the likes of which none of us is ever likely to see again in this lifetime, or any lifetime for that matter. What a champion. He is a legend.
It was spellbinding to watch because he didn't get away well, and for a fleeting moment.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That, like he said, that was a legendary performance, and I believe we will never see nothing like that again. Usain Bolt, I mean, he basically dominated this Rio Games. Him and the young gymnast, she's been dominating. Phelps has been dominating, but Bolt is my favorite Olympian, so I'm going to talk about him, but he dominated his track and field events. I mean, he won gold in the 100, the 200, and the 4x100 relay, making it a triple. I mean, this man has won three straight Olympics, gold medals, in three straight Olympics, starting with the 2008 Beijing Olympics. I mean, he completes the triple-triple. Like I said, a sweeping Olympics for three straight times. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my favorite sprinter during the 80s was Carl Lewis. I have to say that Bolt has surpassed Carl Lewis as the greatest sprinter of all time. I mean, like I said, he was my hero. I don't look at Usain Bolt as my hero, but I'm going to definitely recognize him as the best sprinter. And he's a recognizable face all over the world. I mean, the feat that he did, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like it's nothing that you can do. Justin Gatlin had him. I mean, if they would have raced, it would have been a 50-meter race instead of a 100-meter, then Gatlin would have beat him. But, I mean, it's just nothing you can do. You get a lead, and Bolt just has the capability of running you down. I mean, think about it. The guy is 6'5", and he's a world-class sprinter. I mean, there's not much you can do. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to Usain Bolt, play that clip of him winning one of the events at the Rio Olympics, basically completing his sweep. Happened? Connect to me or what? What happened? Damn, man. What the hell? All right, guys. I had a mess up. My computer, the plug, it unplugged. So it basically bumped me out of the system. So I'm going to start everything back over again. And I'm going to start off with the clip I played, giving Usain Bolt some love. So let's do that.
Gatlin got a good enough start. Bolt was a bit slow to begin. He's got some work to do. Gatlin's in front. Bolt stretching out now. He's coming after him. He's immortal now. Usain's done it. Gatlin challenged for the silver medal. 9.80 all the way from Beijing to London and now to Rio. It is one of the greatest athletic achievements of all time, if not the very greatest. What a moment.
Like you said, what a moment. And I'm sorry once again, guys. My computer unplugged, so it completely knocked me out of the system. I started the show, and the computer unplugged, so I basically had to get plugged back in and have Blog Talk log me back into the system. So now we have it going again. And that was a shout-out to Usain Bolt. He dominated his track and field events, winning the gold in the 100, the 200, and the 4x100 relay with his Jamaican teammates. Bolt completes the triple-double, the triple-triple, sweeping the Olympics three straight times. Beijing 08. London in 12, and now Rio in 16. He says he's done. He says he's going to retire. I mean, truthfully, there's really no reason for him to come back. He's proved he's the best. And if he come back in 2020 and still able to win, then shame to everybody else who's younger out there running right now that they won't be able to beat him in 2020 if he's come back. Shame on them. But he says he's done, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be retiring after this Olympics. And, you know, just another thing, when I was a kid, I always thought Carl Lewis was the greatest sprinter because that's the era I grew up in. I'm a 70s child, so I grew up in the 80s idolizing and watching Carl Lewis just destroy everyone in the Olympics. So Carl Lewis was always the greatest sprinter, in my opinion. But I have to give that shot to Usain Bolt now. He's the greatest sprinter and one of the most recognizable figures in the world. I mean, to be able to do that for three straight Olympics, to, you know, win the gold medal in the 100, the 200, in the 4x100 relay, I mean, that's just a difficult feat. And this man did it. I just want to say something else, too, about Ryan Lochte, the swimmer, who lied to the world and told everybody he was held up at gunpoint. Where, you know, come to find out, him and his other swimming mates were just drunk, and they end up getting into it with someone in a gas station bathroom. And you see how quick Ryan Lochte left the country. And his other buddies, they left kind of late and were actually held back by Brazilian authorities, you know, to get this story situated, to get it truthfully out there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen video. It is young kids over there in Brazil robbing people right now, you know, walking up to them and taking things out of their hands and things like that. But, you know, that story about him being robbed at gunpoint was just fictional. I believe he's playing off of, you know, the bad things that's going on in Brazil and Rio de Janeiro right now. He's playing off of that. And so he made a story out of it. He screwed himself because basically now he has to worry about endorsements. Who's going to endorse a liar? Who's going to endorse this guy now after making up this fabrication about a country? You know, basically putting your name out there and embarrassing the nation that you're representing. So Ryan Lochte might be screwed now. And I just wanted to say something about that. But today's show, we're going to be talking about some other events in the Rio Olympics. We're going to be talking about a little bit of NFL preseason games. And we're going to talk about tonight's UFC 202 that's going on. I will be trying to watch it on the Fire Stick. Sometimes the Sports Devil app works, sometimes it doesn't for me. But I'm going to try to watch it because I want to see if Conor McGregor is going to be able to back up all this talk and, you know, not go into the match, you know, thinking less of Diaz like he did the first time. And that's what got him beat. So we're going to be talking about those things. And how do you feel? Do you think Usain Bolt's the greatest sprinter of all time? I do. We're going to talk about one of my guys, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's replacing Tom Brady for four games. We're going to talk about RG3 and how both of those guys shined in their preseason games a couple of nights ago. And, you know, will they continue their success in the regular season? I believe both of them will. We'll see. But if you guys want to call in and talk about anything, talk about the real games, talk about Usain Bolt, talk about NFL preseason, talk about the UFC 202, the dumbness of Ryan Lochte, then hit me up, 1-516-453-9117.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we never saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10 and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. I see we have a caller on the line. What's going on in Sports Chat with T. Wash? Who's calling?
This is the Idaho Kid calling in, Mr. Wash.
What's going on, Idaho Kid? How you doing?
Oh, it's going okay. I had trouble getting your signal. I lost the signal a couple of times, but I did listen to the beginning of your program, and I thought that that was very, very good. I enjoy listening to you every chance I get.
Thank you, Sam. Idaho Kid. I had an issue. My computer cord bump like went out and the computer shut down on me. So it's like maybe 6 minutes of blankness. They had to Blog Talk had to put me back on the system. So I basically started everything back over, but I'm here now. So what you got? What you want to talk about?
Okay, I want to talk about a couple things right quick, if you have the time. Like I said, I'm
your
show, and you're very thorough on, you know, you're checking everything out. Carl Lewis, back in the 80s, he was pretty good. That was a man back in those days. But as I was looking at the Olympics, yesterday or whatever it was, when Mr. Bolt took it for the three gold medals or whatever, I was really, really impressed. I was really watching that like it was a Super Bowl, you know, because I wanted to see him win again, you know, and he did a good job. Guy that was running with him, what's him, Gatlin or whatever, he did get the jump shot. But, you know, I like the way you put that, Mr. Bolt just ran him down. And right now I think he'll be my hero. What do you think? Can you switch Carl Lewis for Usain Bolt as being your hero now?
Well, see, I really don't want to say he's my hero now. Because, as I said in my opening, you know, like you like Carl Lewis. I'm a 70s child. I grew up during the 80s, so I grew up idolizing Carl Lewis and watching Carl Lewis just outrun everyone. And Carl Lewis has always been the greatest sprinter in my eyes. But now, seeing what Usain Bolt has done since 2008 to now for an eight-year period, winning three Olympics, well, a 12-year period. I mean, he won in 08, and then he won in 12, and now he's won in 16. So, I mean, I have to give it to Usain Bolt. I mean, he's won 9 straight gold medals.
Okay. Well, that's awful nice of you. It's like a new sheriff in town now, you know. You know, I really enjoyed that, and I do enjoy your show. One quick question before I go off. The Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
Are you still listening?
I'm still listening.
But the Chicago Cubs, they're still in first place. Last time I checked, and they're a winning team. And this is the middle of August already, going into September. What do you think? What's your prognostication on the situation? Are they going to make it through the playoffs into the World Series, or what do you think? What's your thoughts on those?
Yeah, I've been saying this all along. I'm going to root for the Cubs. I'm really a White Sox fan, but I'm rooting for the Cubs because it's time for the curse to be lifted. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers did it. Why not the Cubs? And the Cubs have an excellent pitcher staff. At the trade deadline, they picked up Aroldis Chapman. That even enhances them more. So I really don't see anybody being able to challenge the Cubs in the 7-game series. So really there's no excuse why they can't make it to the World Series. The only teams I can see that could challenge them in the NL is maybe a San Francisco, maybe, you know, a Washington Nationals, you know, teams like that. Other than that, I really don't see anybody being able to challenge the Cubs. I think the Cubs are going to, you know, at least make the World Series. And the World Series that I'm hoping for is the Chicago Cubs versus the Cleveland Indians. I mean, how sweet would that be?
You know something, I was laughing a little bit there. You know, that would really, really be great. And I am thinking that the Cubs will do it this year because they've got to do it sometime. And also, I was looking at their pitching staff. They're doing pretty good pitching. The last teams I saw pitch like that, which I don't watch all the teams all the time, was the Chicago White Sox in 2005. And you know what happened that year. They went on to win the World Series.
They won the World Series.
The Cubs have a good pitching team now, so who knows? They might win it. So the question to you, and I'll let you go, should I put my money on the Cubs this year or what?
Yes. Put your money on the Cubs this year, at least making it to the World Series. I don't want to say they're going to win it, but I believe they'll at least represent the National League in the World Series. And I'm rooting for them. And like I said, the series I would like to see is the Cubs and the Indians. Just because, I mean – the Indians had their best chance to get there in 97. I'll never forget that year. That was a good year. They had my hometown person, Kenny Lofton, on that team. They had Albert Bell. They had Manny Ramirez. They had a good team. They had Jim Thome. Omar Vizquel. I mean, they had a lot of Hall of Famers on that team, and they just could not beat the Marlins in that seven-game series in the World Series. So I'm rooting for the Indians to get there, too.
Well,
but
yeah,
I truly believe that this is the Cubs' year to make it to the World Series. I don't want to say right now they'll win, but I do believe with everything that I get that they're going to make it to the World Series. I don't think no black goat, you know, no black cat and no goat, you know, going to interfere with them not making it to the World Series this year.
Okay. Very good. So I'll at least put a dollar on the Cubs this year to go all the way. Well, to go through the World Series anyway. That would be neat, though. I mean, for Chicago and Cleveland, that would be, man, that would be outstanding. The whole Midwest would be rocking then because they haven't won. You know, it's been a long time for either one, you know. In 97, was
exactly.
97, you mentioned, I got a baseball cap here, cheering on the Cleveland Indians. I didn't know if they wanted to make it all the way. I was just glad to see them get the pennant, you know. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm not going to take up much of your time. I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to listen to your program every chance I get. And you're very inspiring, and you're on top of everything, and you're the man. And I'll let you know come October if the Cubs miss or not, okay?
All right. Thank you, Idaho Kid. I appreciate it.
Okay, great talking to you. Take care.
All right, you too. All right, that was the Idaho Kid. And he's right. I mean, Carl Lewis was the man during the 80s. I loved Carl Lewis. It was like he was invincible. Nobody can beat him. I kind of wish that we could have a flashback and have a young Carl Lewis race Usain Bolt. Who would win that? That would be an interesting race. But I don't know, just considering that Usain Bolt is 6'5 and has a long stride and as fast as he is, I think even he'd beat the great Carl Lewis. Barely. I don't think he'd blow Carl Lewis out of the water like he's been doing everybody else. But I think he'd get Carl Lewis just because of the sheer height. You know, like I said, being 6'5 and having a long stride like he does, that's how he's able to recover so good and catch everyone. That's how he caught Justin Gatlin. Because like I said, Justin Gatlin had him in that 100-yard dash. He had him. If it would have been a 50-meter race, Justin Gatlin would have won. That last 50 is where Bolt, that long stride, that 6'5 figure, came into play for him. He was able to run down Justin Gatlin. Another real event that I've been paying attention to because I love basketball is USA men's basketball. The USA men take on the one team in the world that pushed them to the limit in tomorrow's gold medal game, and that's Serbia. The U.S. barely escaped when they played the Serbs, winning 94-91 on timely shots by Carmelo Anthony and Kyrie Irving, who led the U.S. with 15 points. Serbia will enter the gold medal match highly confident in their ability to beat the U.S. If they follow the same blueprint they used in the preliminary round, they have a strong chance of winning. Serbia played the U.S. with a mentality of not idolizing or being intimidated like other teams. I mean, you got these other teams in the world, they don't play them seriously. You could tell that they're more enamored with them. They take pictures with the USA team. They always show the USA players and the China players or the other opposing teams taking pictures, you know, a big group picture, and, you know, they got smiles on their faces like it's the happiest moment of their life. So they were too enamored to play the U.S. series. Not the Serbs. They played them seriously like they wanted to win. And that's what I mean by, you know, not being intimidated and not idolizing them. They were physical towards U.S., led by Nikola Jokic, who had 25 points, Milos Teodosic, who had 18 points, and Miroslav Rudica, he had 18 points. If these guys could duplicate the same performance and not let any of the U.S. players go off offensively, we might have a good gold medal match to watch tomorrow. So I'm interested to see if the U.S. is going to have their act together, if they're going to play good defensively, because they didn't have a good defensive outing when they played the Serbs the first time. And Serbia had, like, four guys in double figures. I mean, the U.S. had five guys in double figures. But once again, like I said, they were playing the U.S. physically. It wasn't easy. Right, fouling DeAndre Jordan, putting him on the line. And you know how DeAndre Jordan is from the free throw line. He's horrible. He's a liability when he's out there in crucial situations. Now, you know, I watched some of this. I watched as much of this game today as I could because it's just ridiculous how the U.S. national team for the women, they just unbeatable. I mean, there's nothing you can do. The USA women have destroyed the world for the last 24 years, winning 49 straight games to go along with 6 straight gold medals after destroying Spain today, 101-72. Enough said. There is no reason to even discuss the women's national team anymore because it's too easy. This type of domination has no ending in sight. I mean, the USA women's basketball team just gets better and better, and it's like the world is not getting better along with them. So there's no telling how long this domination is going to go on for the USA women. So I don't even really look at their games or talk about them because it's already a foregone conclusion. It's almost to the point where they should just place the U.S. women's national team in the final and just have everyone else play a tournament to play them. Because they just destroy everyone. They beat everyone by 25-plus points. Everyone. So it's like they need to just let the college girls play. Take the WNBA girls, you know, ladies out of there and let the college girls play. Maybe be more competitive then. But, you know, we're the U.S. We're number one. We have to be number one at everything. You know, just like the men. I don't believe in the NBA players playing. I believe it should be college players. And you know they did that because the college players were losing in the Olympics. So they decided to bring in the pro players. And that's the reason why we haven't, you know, that's the reason why Dream Team 1 was formed in 92. Because I think they had lost the 88 Olympics to Oscar Schmidt and company, if I'm believing right, in Brazil. And, you know, that prompted them to start getting professional basketball players to play on the U.S. national team. I think it's fair. They should have let the college players play. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the NFL next. There's been some NFL preseason games, and I'm only focusing on the games that I was able to watch and break down. So we come back from break, we're going to talk about some NFL in the preseason. We'll talk about a little RG3. Talk about a little Jimmy Garoppolo, go Pats, to all you Patriot haters out there. That's what we're going to be discussing next. If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1516
1-800-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So, if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash. And that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
All right. Welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. We're going to get into NFL preseason now. And the first game I want to talk about is the Patriots, my Patriots, versus the Chicago Bears. Jimmy Garoppolo completed 16 of 21 passes for 181 yards and one touchdown. He connected with second-year tight end, another weapon that we're discovering for the Patriots now. His name is A.J. Derby, for his only touchdown pass. Garoppolo looks more comfortable each game as he takes over for the suspended Tom Brady. Jay Cutler and the Bears offense came out sharp on their first game possession, Bears fans. I know you felt good to see that, but he is Jay Cutler. Is he really going to care if the Bears do good or not? Just by watching Jay Cutler over all these years, I don't think he's going to care at all. I don't think he cares if they win or lose. Like I said, they came out, and they were sharp on offense their first possession. They drove it down the field. They drove it down the field, and, you know, they would settle for a 36-yard field goal and take a 3-0 lead. Cutler found Alshon Jeffrey for a 29-yard pass, and then he found him again for a 12-yard pass. So that connection is still in play. Jeremy Langford ran and caught the ball out of the backfield with fluidity. He broke off a 32-yard on my boys and finished the drive with a 5-yard touchdown. So he definitely could be a bright spot for the Bears. Jeremy Langford, he should do a good job in place of Matt Forte. He's young. He's out of Michigan State, so you know he plays tough. And the Bears actually got some bright spots, but like I always say, it's just a matter of what Jay Cutler's going to do. Is he going to care? Is he going to play with some urgency? I mean, he's been in the league going on 10 years now, so I believe it's time for Jay Cutler to be the quarterback he was meant to be and be the quarterback that my people in Chicago want him to be. What's going on in the Sports Chat with T. Wash? Who's calling?
Hi, this is C.T. Stallworth from Maryville, Indiana. How are you?
I'm doing good, P.T. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I want to know, what do you think about the Ryan Lochte controversy with the swimming and all them leaving town and what he said about the police pulling a gun on him and all of that? What do you think about that?
I think that he was a young knucklehead. Well, I can't say he's young because he's 31. He shouldn't be as immature as you would think he's acting. I would say that he was a knucklehead because, I mean, let's just be honest. He's spoiled. He's pampered. You know, he's a swimming star, so he gets what he wants. He does what he wants. And him and his, you know, fellow swimmers went over there. They got drunk, and they messed up a bathroom, breaking the door in the bathroom, and got into it with a gas station attendant, and you know, about the bathroom situation. And so he decides to lie to his mom and say he was held up. And I believe he was doing that because of the reputation that Brazil has, you know, as being a place where you could get robbed and things like that. So I believe he took that and ran with it. That's what I believe. And like I said, it is bad things going on in Brazil right now. But it's just messed up that he tried to use that, you know, as an excuse to get him out of trouble.
Okay, that wasn't nice at all.
Yeah, it's actually right now going around. It's kids over there that's bad. And it's kids over there that's actually taking people out of people, you know, taking things out of people's hands on the street and robbing people.
Wow.
That's actually going on right now. So I believe he's using Brazil's reputation, you know, to help him out of his jam that he put himself in. But I think it was wrong, and I believe that he's going to feel the wrath of that
he's going to lose endorsement deals and all kinds of things because he basically embarrassed his nation.
Yes, he did. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I was so proud of him, you know. And like to, you know, I know he's young and everything, and but yet and still, you know, that was terrible. I mean, you know, don't, you know, the Americans, we took over a lot over there. You know, we won a lot of medals and everything. We don't need anything else bad to say, you know, to be said, you know, about us. That, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't know, and he's young, you know, but I didn't like the apology. It wasn't straight out. It wasn't straightforward. But anyway, we'll get through it. But I'm also, I am also proud of Boat for himself. But, hey, he's the fastest running man in the country. What can I say? Made me so proud just watching, to watch him. Just proud to be, you know, able to watch the Olympics and all that went forth. I'm very, very proud of the Americans. So that's all I had to say. And I thank you for having such a show that I can call and I can vent, you know, and talk about such things. You know, I'm very proud, you know, keep going. We need shows like this, more shows, more sports, entertainment. Keep it going. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, BT. And I will.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, PT. Yeah, I want to thank PT for that. And she's right. I mean, I love this. I'm going to continue to do this. I love talking sports. I mean, it'd be people on the street that would just come up to me out of the blue and just decide to talk sports with me. I mean, it's like they know that I have a passion for the, you know, for talking about sports, whether it's football, basketball, baseball. And like I tell people, even a little hockey. Especially if you want to go back to the 90s, I can talk hockey all day. Now, I'm really not big into hockey now in this era, but the 90s, we can do it all day. I was more of a hockey guy then, but I'm very versatile, and I just love doing this. I have a passion for it, and I want to talk to people who have the same passion as me. You know, I mean, like I say, you don't just have to call in about the topics I present. You can call in and throw something at me. If you want to, you know, hey, T-Wash, what you think about the Pacers? You know, I might not even be talking about basketball. But if you want to ask me what I think about a certain team or a player, then I'm going to give you my opinion. And that's the type of show I want to have. So always remember that you're free to call and discuss any type of sports topic you want on this show. And if you want to call in right now and talk about the Rio Olympics, talk about Usain Bolt, talk about Ryan Lochte, talk about NFL preseason. Talk about your favorite NFL team. UFC 202 that's happening tonight. Then hit me up. 1-516-453-9117. Now I'm going to get back to what I was talking about. I was talking about the Bears and Patriots. And, you know, a lot of these Patriot haters out here, you know, I believe you're going to be mad because Jimmy Garoppolo, he's picking up the offense. He's looking more and more comfortable every week. This is game two. He looked even more comfortable than he did in game one. So I'm curious to see game three, how is he going to look? You Patriot haters might be in for a rough one. I mean, because honestly, I just see the Patriots losing one game out of those four. I believe they'll lose that first game in Arizona because that's just too tough for a novice-type quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo to go into Arizona and win that game. Even with Tom Brady in the lineup, I would pick us to lose in Arizona. But once they lose to Arizona, they're going to come back to Foxborough for three straight. And I know you guys, you know, a lot of Patriot haters out there, are you really that much of a hater? You hate them that much to believe that they're going to lose? I've heard some people say the Patriots are going to go 0-4 or 1-3. Do those same people really believe that the Patriots will lose three straight games in Foxborough, which is going to be against Houston, Miami, and Buffalo? They're not losing those games, which means they're going to be 3-1 when Tom Brady returns in game five in Cleveland, and which I'm going to keep saying over and over, and I know you guys probably tired of hearing me say it, the game I will be at to see Brady return It's going to be a whole different ball game. And I just can't wait for the season to start. And I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Jimmy Garoppolo. And then, like I said, Bears fans out there, Jay Cutler and the Bears offense look good. Kevin White really didn't show up. He didn't get too many balls thrown his way, but when he did, he didn't catch them. So I'm curious to see how Kevin White going to look in your offense. But I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Jeremy Langford. And Alshon Jeffery is Alshon Jeffery. You know? Now, how good is the Bears' defense is, I don't know. So now I want to talk about the Browns and the Falcons. And this guy, I'm rooting big time for this guy because I love him as a rookie. And he had a better rookie season than Andrew Luck. And that's RG3. This RG3-Terrell Pryor combination might seriously be special. In consecutive weeks, Griffin has hit Terrell Pryor with passes of 50-plus yards. In the game versus the Falcons, he hit Pryor for a convincing touchdown of 56 yards. Imagine how their offense can look with Josh Gordon when he comes back off suspension. They'll have two receivers capable of taking the top off opposing defenses, and having two good receivers in the top three tight end in Gary Bonich, who end up catching a 33-yard touchdown from RG3 in that game against the Falcons. And then they also got a decent dual-threaded running back with Duke Johnson. The Browns could have a fun team to watch this season. And I'm expecting a pretty good game, you know, when they play the Pats. But when it's all said and done, I just think that Brady's going to be on so much of a high, you know, for being back and have so much of a point to prove to the NFL and all the detractors that they're going to destroy Cleveland. But like I said, I'm rooting for RG3 to do good, just not against the Patriots. Everybody else, I want RG3 to destroy them. You know, this could be a season of redemption for RG3. And so far, he's looking good in these preseason games, and I'm hoping that he can carry it on to the season. I believe he will. I'm going to say that Cleveland, you know, their defense is pretty good. Their offense should be good. I'm going to say Cleveland win at least 6 or 7 games this season. And as far as the Atlanta Falcons, you know, I've never been a big fan of the Atlanta Falcons, especially Matt Ryan. To me, Matt Ryan's not as good as they make him out to be. But he has weapons. I mean, he has Julio Jones, who didn't play. And, you know, why would he? Why would you play Julio Jones in the preseason? There's really no need to. And they picked up Mohamed Sanu from Cincinnati. He made a couple plays last night. Him and Matt Ryan played pitch and catch against the Browns defense, connecting on a couple of big pass plays. Devontae Freeman, he's a good running back and a good fantasy pickup. So, guys, if you're playing fantasy football, pick up Devontae Freeman. He's productive. He had a couple of carries, a touchdown. And like I said, the Falcons' offense has never been an issue as it pertains to the team. It's always been their defense. In the game against the Browns, their first-team defense gave up too many deep passes, which led to touchdowns for the Browns. That 50-yard pass they gave up to RG3 to Terrell Pryor. That 33-yard pass they gave up to Gary Barnage from RG3. The Falcons need to tighten up their defense and, you know, just hope that Matt Ryan can maintain a high level of play throughout the season for them to be relevant. But I actually don't think they're going to be relevant. I think that Tampa Bay is going to finish higher than those guys in the NFC South this year. I'm not going to have any belief in the Atlanta Falcons until I see it. I need to see it to believe it, to have some kind of faith in them. But RG3, I believe RG3 is going to be on the come up. I think RG3, this is a season of redemption for him. He even had a couple of runs, and he even slid the right way. And that was the issue for him in Washington. It's like the man didn't know how to slide. He would dive head first, and you know that's how he was getting knocked out all the time. Or he even slid one time and messed his leg up because his spike got caught in the, you know, in the grass, in the turf, because he didn't know how to slide. But in the game against the Falcons, he slid perfectly. He got like a 15, 20-yard run, and he slid. He looked just like the old RG3, and I'm hoping he can maintain that. And the next game I want to talk about is the Seahawks and the Vikings, and it was really not a lot of scoring in this game.
really didn't have a lot of action. The first team offenses for either squad didn't do much at all. It was really the backups that put the points up. And the game was low scoring. It was like 17 to 11 or something like that. But the Seahawks do have a good running back tandem, it looks like. You know, they should be decent replacements for Marshawn Lynch, and that's Thomas Rawls and Christian Michael. And they both had decent running games. You know, unfortunately, the team just didn't put no points on the board. But they had good running games, and you know, when I broke down the Seahawks in the NFC West, I'm going to say the same thing. If they could get, you know, some production out of Jimmy Graham, like he played when he was in New Orleans, then Seattle's going to be a tough team to beat because that defense is still in place and that defense is still good. To me, it hinges on Jimmy Graham. Russell Wilson had a Pro Bowl year last season. Doug Baldwin had a Pro Bowl season. They continue that, and then he also has Lockett at the other receiver spot. If Jimmy Graham could have any type of season in Seattle like he did in New Orleans, I got Seattle as the favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. But, you know, that's yet to be determined. We don't know. We don't know how good Jimmy Graham can be. And as far as the Vikings, you know, Adrian Peterson didn't play. Why? I mean, some guys, there's just no reason to play him during the preseason. But Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he really didn't do anything his first couple possessions. And the backup quarterback, Sean Hill, I mean, you know, he's a grizzly old vet. He didn't do much. So really that was a game that was really not worth watching. And guys, if you want to call in, talk about anything, talk about the Rio Olympics, NFL preseason, UFC fight that's going to go on tonight, or any type of sports topic, hit me up. 1-516-453-9117. 1-516-453-9117. All right. So the last game I was able to watch was the Green Bay Packers and the Oakland Raiders. And once again, no Aaron Rodgers or Jordy Nelson. From what I saw, the bright spot on the offense was Eddie Lacy. And he needs to claim the 2016 season as a season of redemption on his part after only posting 700-plus rushing yards and 4 touchdowns, which is not enough for a running back like Eddie Lacy, who's expected to do more in the top-flight offense, you know, that Green Bay has. He's lost weight and looks even quicker and nimbler than he did when he was 250-plus pounds. He displayed a mixture of power and finesse while scoring a touchdown to give the Pack an early lead. The addition of Jared Cook looks real good for Rodgers. It's another weapon, you know, to that Green Bay Packer arsenal. And Cook made a couple of nice catches in that game against Oakland. Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams need to make up also for their seasons last year because you really expected them to step up big when Jordy Nelson went down. But they didn't. They were very disappointing, especially Devontae Adams. I picked him up in fantasy, so I was really disappointed. He just didn't show up at all. So maybe with Jordy Nelson back, that'll instill the confidence in everyone to get that Packer offense back on track. You know, the way the Packers play. Now, tonight we have some games that's happening. The Colts and the Ravens. The Ravens are down here in Indianapolis right now, and that game should be starting pretty soon if it hasn't started already. But Andrew Luck hasn't played a preseason game yet, so I'm curious to see if he's going to play tonight because I want to see how he looks. And for what I've been seeing so far in the first two games, their offensive line situation still is not resolved because that backup quarterback been getting killed for the Colts. They have rookies on the offensive line, and you just don't know how good they could be. How long is it going to take those guys to mesh and gel? I don't know. But if they can't protect Andrew Luck, the Colts and Colts fans are going to be in the same situation they were last year. Andrew Luck's going to be hurt, and they're going to have a mediocre season. I'm already predicting Jacksonville to win the AFC South. I don't think it's going to matter. I think Jacksonville is going to win that division because of their defense and because of their underrated offense and their underrated receivers. I think Jacksonville is going to win that division. Sorry, Colts fans. But I do want to see what Andrew Luck looked like, see if him and T.Y. Hilton still had that connection, which they should. They played together long enough. I want to see what Frank Gore can do. Is Frank Gore going to be able to, you know, gain some decent yardage for you guys, you know, for the Colts fans this year and for the Colts? I don't know. Baltimore. Baltimore's looking to rebound after a bad season. Joe Flacco's looking to come back. I don't know if he's going to play, but he's looking to bounce back, have a bounce back year because he's coming back off injury. Steve Smith's also coming back off injury. I'm glad he came back instead of retiring, you know, retiring off an injury. He decided to come back and go out the right way. Baltimore issue last year was their offense. I mean, the other receiver that they drafted, the high draft pick, Perriman, is this going to be a breakthrough season for him? They're going to need him to have a breakthrough season. The tight end position, who is it going to be? That Crockett Gilmore guy, is he going to be the guy that's going to be the tight end? I don't know. There's a lot of question marks on Baltimore's offense. The good news is Terrell Suggs will be back on that defense, so that defense should be pretty good again. You know, Suggs, he instills the leadership. He's basically the heart and soul of that defense. And with him back, that's going to energize that defense. So I definitely expect the Baltimore Raven defense to be up to par, to be back to normal. It's just a matter of what their offense is going to do. Is Justin Forsett going to be able to come back and have a decent year? A lot of question marks with the Ravens and the Colts, but they're playing tonight. A late night game tonight will be the Rams and the Chiefs. Now, the question with the Rams, are they going to go with Case Keenum, or are they going to decide to give the rookie Jared Goff some more time? As of right now, Jeff Fisher's saying it's going to be Case Keenum, but you know how that goes. We may see Jared Goff in game four of the regular season. Case Keenum might play horrible the first three, and then we see Jared Goff in, you know, game four. So they got to let the youngster get his feet wet. And the Rams' defense is great. Their offense is not. Truly the only bright spot on the Rams' offense is Todd Gurley, who had an excellent rookie year last year. And if you play fantasy football, draft Todd Gurley with your first quarterback spot. I would. Todd Gurley's a monster, and he had a monster season. I'm expecting even better for him this year. I mean, Kenny Britt, wide receiver. They have the little quick guy at receiver. I can't remember his name to save my life, but he's a slot guy, and he makes plays for you sometimes. I can't remember. I don't remember his name. Tavon Austin, there you go. And Tavon Austin, he makes plays. He's a quick slot receiver. So they have a few weapons. But I'm expecting another 7-9, 6-10, 5-11 season out of Rams. Jeff Fisher, the only coach who can have a losing record every year and still maintain the job. How is that? And they're saying that the Rams talking about re-signing him to an extension. Why would you re-sign a coach that constantly loses over and over and over? Jeff Fisher's team hasn't been in the playoffs in like 8 years. Last time he probably made the playoffs was when he was coaching Steve McNair in Tennessee. That may have been the last time that Jeff Fisher's made the playoffs. But he keeps getting jobs. Him and Cincinnati's Marvin Lewis are like the luckiest coaches ever. They could lose every year. At least Marvin Lewis gets his team to the playoffs. They just happen to lose in the first round of the playoffs every year. But they get there. And they have a good regular season. Jeff Fisher's just bad at both. He doesn't make the playoffs, and his regular seasons are mediocre too. But like I said, I'm not going to blame that Rams defense because they led by Aaron Donald, and he's a monster. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He can push the pocket. He knocks down passes. You can sack the quarterback. Aaron Donald does it all. And that Ram defense is pretty good. So I'm not going to blame those guys, you know, for not – for the Rams, you know, being a completely bad team. It's not on the defense. It's the offense and it's the coach.
Crazy people ride in the streets, killing unborn babies, catching shots from police. Never thought that I would see the day when I would have to pray for God to hold me down. Cause Lord, I feel like giving up today. I feel like giving up the faith. I swear these people fake. I swear they full of hate. I swear to tell the truth until I'm in the grave. Shots fired. Everybody quiet. Trying to hear the preacher. He ain't preaching to the choir. Preaching to the riots. Daddy got fired. He ain't got no Medicare. Sipping liquor in his chair. Blank stare. Need a blank check. Where your bank at? Baby's had a birthday. They gon' need a rain check. Rich man need a vacation. Hop a plane. Broke man need a vacation. Mary Jane. Walk outside and everything is bubbly. Butterflies in my stomach from this girl I wanna see. Party in the neighborhood and everybody on the street. They was on that Stevie Wonder, now it's Frankie Beverly. I done seen days go crazy, time fly by. Maybe it was yesterday or maybe 65. Peace and war, born and die. All too familiar, more lifetimes, ugh. One time for the memories. Two times for the crew. Three times for the love, y'all. And four times for the truth. And some days are a nightmare, and some dreams come true, but the Lord's still right there. It's just deja vu, oh, it's just deja vu, deja vu, it's just deja vu, y'all, it's just deja vu.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That last segment, I meant to talk about the Chiefs too, so I will. Because the simple fact the Chiefs are playing the Rams, and I discussed the Rams, but I didn't discuss the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs have steady, Mr. Steady, Alex Smith. You know, he's a decent quarterback. He doesn't make turnovers. He doesn't make too many mistakes. He just doesn't have that about him. You know, he's not one of those top-tier quarterbacks, Super Bowl-type caliber quarterback. But he has a great defense who stacked Tamba Hali, Eric Berry, Houston. But they got a lot of good guys on defense who can make plays. Their secondary is one of the best in the NFL. And their offense, you know, they got those two running backs who took over for Jamal Charles when Jamal Charles got hurt. Spencer Ware and Chandrick West, both of those guys did a great job filling in. And then Jamal Charles is coming back. So they have a chance to have a three-headed monster at the running back position. So I'm expecting the Chiefs to be pretty good, barring some type of major injury. The Chiefs will be back in the mix, fighting for a wild card spot. But I don't think they're going to win the division. I'm going with the Raiders. The Raiders are my upset team to win the division this year. I believe it's going to be a year of change in a lot of these divisions. I think Jacksonville Jaguars are going to win the AFC South. I believe that the Oakland Raiders are going to win the AFC West. I mean, those are the two major changes I see, and I just believe that they're going to happen. What's going on? It's Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Okay,
Lear. You're from a
little bit about
sports. Okay. I believe I got Bud dialed. Yeah, like I said, the Chiefs are going to be, they're going to be okay. They'll be all right. Alex Smith, he makes plays. Andy Reid's a great coach. They got Jeremy Maclin, receiver. And then they got one of the best tight ends in the league, top three tight end, in Travis Kelce. So the Chiefs will be back in the mix. It's just a matter of how far will they go. I don't know. You know, that's why the season's here. It's finally here. It started. And I'm just ready for it to go. I'm ready to start up my fantasy teams. I'm ready to start watching football. I'm ready for NFL Red Zone. I'm ready for everything. Hopefully, my fantasy league, I can win the money this year. We'll see. But, guys, if you want to call in, talk about any sport, talk about these NFL preseason games, what do you think? You think RG3 is going to come back and, you know, be the way he was his rookie season? Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to do a good job while Tom Brady's out? Do you think Usain Bolt is the best sprinter of all time? 1-516-453-9117. I got a sports history fact for you guys today. And, I mean, it's like a Usain Bolt thing. On this day, August 20th, 2009, Usain Bolt wins the 200 meters at the 12th edition of the World Track and Field Championships. So, I'm saying, it's like a Usain Bolt thing. I like him. I have no issue with talking about him. And I just wanted to pull that out back in, on this day. August 20th of 2009, he won the 200 meters at the World Track and Field Championship. I mean, Usain Bolt is the truth. I'm going to do a quick rundown of last night's MLB games, you know, just to bring a little bit of baseball into it. Like I say, I like baseball, but I really don't key in on it until playoff time. You know, once the playoffs come around, that's when I focus more on baseball. But as far as like watching it on TV, I just can't do it. I can go and attend live baseball games. I have no problem with that. But watching like a whole nine-inning game, I really can't do that until playoff time. Because, you know, it's playoff time. More's on the line. So you don't mind watching a nine-inning game or if they go extras or 11, 12-inning game. But last night, the Miami Marlins beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-5. The St. Louis Cardinals beat the Philadelphia Phillies 4-3. The Houston Astros beat the Baltimore Orioles 15-8. The Boston Red Sox beat the Detroit Tigers 10-2. The Cincinnati Reds beat the L.A. Dodgers 9-2. That team that I'm rooting for to get to the World Series to face the Cubs, the Cleveland Indians, beat the Toronto Blue Jays 3-2. The Texas Rangers beat the Tampa Bay Rays 6-2. The Washington Nationals beat my Atlanta Braves 7-6. My poor Braves. The glory years are just gone. We had a nice little 14, 15-year run where the Braves were always one of the top teams in the National League. It's just hard times now. They traded away everybody, and they're depending on their farm system to bring them back, you know, out of the deep water. I don't know when that's going to happen. The Oakland Athletics blanked my favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, 9-0. The Kansas City Royals beat the Minnesota Twins 5-4. The Chicago Cubs, Idaho Kid, lose last night to the Colorado Rockies 7-6. But that doesn't mean anything. The Cubs have everything in place to at least get to the World Series. Now, I believe they will. I believe the curse is going to be lifted as far as them getting to the World Series. I just can't say right now that they're going to win it all. But I do believe that they will at least get there. The New York Yankees beat the L.A. Angels 7-0. The Seattle Mariners beat the Milwaukee Brewers 7-6. The San Francisco Giants, one of the teams I believe that's going to challenge the Cubs for that National League pennant, they beat the New York Mets 8-1. And the San Diego Padres beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 7-4. So that's just a quick rundown of the MLB and some of last night's scores. Like I said, I believe the Cubs are going to break the curse this year and at least make it to the World Series. And as far as the American League, I don't know. You got the Blue Jays who may be there. You got the Texas Rangers who may be there. But I'm rooting for the Cleveland Indians to beat everyone and get there. I don't know. I don't know, with LeBron lifting the curse, you know, in Cleveland and finally bringing him a championship since 1964, you know, back when Jim Brown won them a championship. It just seemed like Cleveland has good vibes. I mean, the Indians, remember during the season, the Indians went on a 14-game win streak. And that was going on during the finals when Cleveland was, you know, beating Golden State. So why not? Why not? Why not Cleveland? Why not Chicago? Why can't that be our matchup in the World Series? I want it to be. And like I said, I definitely believe the Cubs will be the NL participant. They have an easier road than the Cleveland Indians. Now I want to talk about the UFC 200, UFC 202 that's going on tonight. I'm going to try to get it on this Fire Stick. My Fire Stick be acting crazy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm going to try to get it so I can watch this fight because Conor McGregor is a character, and it's fun watching him. He likes to talk smack. He's full of bravado. He's really, really arrogant, and I believe that's what got him beat the first time against Nate Diaz. And the rematch of Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor looks to be good as their first matchup. Diaz steps into the octagon with a 20-10 record, while McGregor steps in with a 19-3 record, and he has payback on his mind for losing their last fight by submission. Nate Diaz submitted him. McGregor put a serious beatdown on Diaz, though. Diaz was really bloody, so he was hitting him with some shots. I mean, I saw an interview where McGregor was even like, "I beat the boy up real good, man." You know, in that Irish accent, he's talking about how he beat him up real good, but in that interview, he sounded like he was humble, you know. And I believe he was because, you know, he went in there with all that bravado, you know, believing that Diaz didn't have a shot. And, you know, you just can't be like that. And, you know, like I said, he put a beating on him. But Diaz, you know, he known for his drive to be the best and never quit a fight. You know, regardless of how bloody he was, Diaz wasn't going to quit. And McGregor went into that fight thinking he could dominate Diaz regardless of being the smaller man, because he's the smaller man out of the two. Diaz is bigger than Conor McGregor. But McGregor was so cocky and so confident, especially after his last fight, before the Diaz fight, when he knocked out Jose Aldo in like 11 seconds. Aldo literally ran into the left hook, and he knocked him out. And so, you know, stuff like that, when exciting knockouts and things like that happen for a fighter, that's really going to boost your ego. So Conor McGregor was on cloud nine. You know, he just knocked out Jose Aldo, who sought revenge, you know, against Conor McGregor because McGregor talked so much trash about him and disrespected him in so many ways. Aldo went into the ring not thinking straight. He really wanted to, like, put a beating on McGregor. And I believe McGregor used that to his advantage. And that's kind of what happened with McGregor and Diaz. McGregor was so full of himself, he went in there believing he's going to just dominate Diaz regardless of the situation. And he ended up losing. And he was humble. Like I said, he didn't take him seriously as an opponent. But, you know, seeing that interview he did here a couple weeks ago, I think he found a newfound respect for Diaz, and he's going to take him seriously this time. And because of his attitude change, I believe Conor McGregor will win this time around. And if he doesn't, he may have to make a real retirement speech this time around. You know, because when he lost that fight to, you know, Nate Diaz, he was talking crazy. You know, he's retiring, he quit. And, you know, that would have been a sucker way to go out. How you going to quit because you lose? Get your butt back in there and fight him again. And so that's what happened. I'm believing somebody talked to him, or maybe he was just doing that to be a showman. I don't know. But McGregor, you know, they're going to get it on tonight, and it's going to be interesting, and we're going to see who's going to win. We're going to see who's going to come out on top. I said, I believe McGregor's going to get him this time. because he's not going to take Diaz lightly. Other matches on the fight card feature the likes of Anthony Rumble Johnson versus Glover Teixeira, which promises to be a hard-hitting contest because both combatants like to fight standing up as opposed to being on the ground. Both of these guys are not ground fighters. They'll ground and pound you, but as far as getting down and wrestling and all that, they really don't do that. They like to stand up. So who knows? We might witness plenty of good shots tonight. We might have a good fight out of those two. There's a whole bunch of other people on the card, but I really don't know them, so I really don't want to talk about them because I don't know them. I mean, I'll watch, you know, just to see. I know it's two women's fight, and the only one I recognize that one woman, Randa Markos, and that's just because I used to watch that Ultimate Fighter, and she was on there, but she's going to be fighting. As far as everybody else on the undercard, I have no idea, but maybe it'll be a good, you know, a good 202, good UFC 202 to watch. But like I said, I'm definitely going to tune in to see McGregor and Diaz, and I might check out that Rumble Johnson and Teixeira fight. Those probably the two key fights of the whole event. Guys, if you want to talk about anything, any of these sports, you want to talk about the Rio Olympics, talk about your favorite event, talk about USA basketball, talk about how the USA women dominate everybody and how the rest of the world seems to have no shot against them. You want to talk about the USA men and how they may have a battle tomorrow for the gold medal against Serbia because they barely beat Serbia. They beat Serbia by 3 points when they played in the preliminaries. Serbia didn't treat them like they were stars or they were enamored with them. I didn't see no pictures of Serbia and the USA, you know, team at the beginning before the game, smiling and happy. Serbia came out and punched the U.S. in the mouth. So I'm curious to see if Serbia is going to take that same mentality in tomorrow's gold medal match. If so, then we're going to have a good gold medal match, unless they let one of the USA players go off, like a Carmelo Anthony. They let Carmelo go off like he did in the previous game, a past game. We hit 9 threes. They can't let stuff like that happen. If they play physical defense and, you know, play their game and have like 4 or 5 guys in double figures like they did the first time they played the U.S., it's gonna be a pretty good game to watch. So if you guys want to talk about that, you want to talk about NFL preseason, talk about RG3's performance, talk about the UFC, then hit me up, 1-516-453-9117.
I hate gossip.
Rest in peace to Trayvon Martin.
I don't know what I'm looking for, you know? But yesterday,
and all the other Trayvons
me, you know,
that we didn't march for,
found me. Then why don't you try
they lost their life in the hood.
How? You don't know how to move? Well, what you just do is...
Let's go. Yeah, got over money, pistol. I got my hoodie on for Trayvon, listening to this ignorance on how the hoodie's just as responsible as the killer is.
Really?
Geraldo, are you losing your mind or you just blind to the fact the first gangsters wore suits and ties? So if the kid in blue decides to put a clip in you, we'll justify it by saying that you fit the description too? It sound funny, don't it?
Don't.
Now just imagine when they rolled him over, the hoodie said God over money on it. That could have been
me.
Couldn't have been you. I guess that's why we see it from a different point of view.
Yep.
But hold up, before the hood gets to clapping for me, don't just pretend to be righteous when tragedy happens, homie. It's really killing
me.
We marching in the street. Following the case, praying that a witness speak. Hoping they get some
lead.
Give them the guillotine. We want this killer in the cell where killers should be. But then we hit the hood, and that conviction leads. We see Trayvon Johnson murdered in the street. Why is it then you react so differently? A snitch or die, and we a lie to keep this killer free. And rappers get to coming out the woodworks for the publicity. They pretend to feel the hood turn. The truth is, when Zimmerman was aiming for him, he ain't see a child. He saw the picture you painted for him.
Real tough.
You the one promoting the black image. Lie, steal, murder, kill, that
image.
But you don't deal with the repercussions of your wildin'.
Nope.
You famous and rich.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Walsh. I just happened to turn on my TV to see if I could check out the Colts and Ravens, and looked like the Ravens just scored. So it's 7-3. I can't tell if Andrew Luck played or not. This is in the second quarter right now, and it's on a commercial, so I can't really tell if Andrew Luck got in the game. But I'm curious. I'm curious to see if Luck got in the game, how did he do? How did that offensive line protect him? How did he look with the offense, being that he hasn't played in, like, almost a year? He hasn't played in a long time. How did he look? And just from what I saw when I turned to it, it looked like that receiver from Baltimore, Kamar Aiken. I'm thinking he scored because they had the camera on him. So I have no idea. But the Colts' offensive line is going to dictate how their season goes this year. If they can protect Andrew Luck, they have a chance to make the playoffs. You know, have another 10-win season under Luck. But if that offensive line does protect them, then they're going to have a losing season. And, you know, a lot of these Colts fans I know down here are going to get anxious. It looked like it was a 5-play, 84-yard scoring drive for the Ravens. And they keeping the camera on the Kamar Aiken wide receiver. So I'm assuming that he scored the touchdown. And they're about to get ready to kick off, and it's Baltimore 7-3. Like I said, I don't know if Andrew Luck started or not. I have no idea. But I guess I'm going to check that out and see. Well, I'm about to get ready to close out the show. I want to thank my callers that called in. And like I said, sports show is just not about the topics I throw out. It's a sports show. So that means if you want to call in with any sports topic, then you have the freedom to do so, and we can discuss it. Football season in now. You know, it's in now, and we're going to be talking a lot of football because I love football. And then once basketball come around, we'll be talking a lot of basketball. So if you guys ever want to call in and, you know, talk on my show, get on the air and discuss some topics with me, then I want you to hit me up. And my number is 1-516-453-9117. That's the number that you use to hit me up whenever you want to call Sports Chat with T-Wash and talk about some sports. Well, like I said, I want to thank my callers. Thank you to PT, and thank you to the Idaho Kid for calling in. It's really appreciated. It's always nice when you have callers. It's kind of sad when you don't have callers because it's just funny because a lot of people love to talk sports with me, but now that I started my sports show, nobody calls. And it's kind of hurtful, but, you know, I'm going to keep doing this because I love talking sports. And I feel like I just want to get what I know out there, and I want to talk about it. And I want to have some kind of dialogue with any people, any type of people who like talking sports. I want to have a dialogue with them. Talking sports is something that I could do all day, every day. But I just have a strong passion for it. But I'm going to end that on this. Sports is basically the fabric of society. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and hockey, we all as humans have a strong passion for the games and what they represent. Now ask yourself, could you imagine life without it? Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you guys on Wednesday. I do my show Wednesdays and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. See you then.